December has been a big month for the Carnegie Mellon University spin-off Duolingo. Google selected Duolingo as one of the top five applications for the Android operating system, and on Tuesday, Apple recognized it as the App of the Year. This is Steve Sokol in for Paul Guggenheimer, and joining me by phone is the CMU professor Luis Van Aan, who co-founded Duolingo with his doctoral student Severin Hacker. Professor Van Aan, welcome to the program, and congratulations on this prestigious honor.
Hi, thank you for having me, and thank you.
Duolingo is a free language learning program, and the app has been downloaded 10 million times from Apple users and 8 million times from Android users. There are currently more than 5 million active monthly users, including one of my colleagues at work. Did you have any idea that your app would be so successful?
No, we actually didn't expect as much success. I mean, we knew people would like it because we liked it ourselves, but we didn't expect as much success. Normally, education apps are not this successful, which is also shows. I mean, we were chosen as the app of the year for the iPhone by Apple, and this is the first time they ever choose an education app. Normally, they pick games or entertainment apps. So this is the first time that they give it to an education app, which was quite a surprise for us.
So what made you and your co-creator think about this and launch Duolingo as an app?
Well, what we wanted to do is provide language education. We really wanted to provide a good system for language education. And when we started looking at the market of language education, we found something that was pretty ironic, which is the vast majority of people. So in total, there are about 1.2 billion people learning a foreign language in the world. It's very popular. It happens to be very popular except in the U.S., but it's very popular outside of the U.S. The majority of these 1.2 billion people, about 800 million of them, are, first of all, learning English, the language they're learning, and second, they are low socioeconomic status. And in fact, the reason they're learning English is to be able to get a better job or a job at all. They kind of want to get ahead in life. So that's the language learning market as it is. But at the same time, this is the irony, the ways that are out there to learn languages usually require quite a bit of money. You can either learn it through a middle school, for example, but then that means you're relatively wealthy because you went to a middle school that has a language program. Or you can learn it, say, with software, something like Rosetta Stone, which is like $500 to $1,000. So it's very expensive. And most of the people who need to learn are actually trying to learn so that they can get a job or make some money. So this is this funny situation. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to make a free way to learn languages. That's kind of what we wanted to do, and that's what we did with Duolingo.
And who uses Duolingo? What kind of people? Do you have a sense of the end users?
Yeah, they're all over the place. We have users from 230-some countries. 25% of them come from the U.S., and our second largest country is actually Brazil. About 15% of our users come from Brazil. But it's really all over the world. I would say the standard use is people who, especially on the apps, it's people who like to, they use it kind of as a form of entertainment or procrastination, but instead of playing a game, they're using Duolingo, which is fun, but at the same time, they're getting something out of it as opposed to just wasting their time. So this is the most common use case we see. People who are in some sense procrastinating, but procrastinating, it's kind of useful procrastination.
So one way to think of it is constructive procrastination. I can play a game and learn a foreign language at the same time.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the standard, the most common use case here is people who used to play something else, Angry Birds or Candy Crush or something, and instead they're spending their time learning a language.
And do you think that this optimizes the way in which a language is taught?
It's actually quite effective. We spend a lot of effort here. We have, out of the people that work in the company, we have about 30 people working. About a third of them are spending all their time making the language instruction as effective as possible. And it's been shown that it's pretty effective. So somebody from the City University of New York, who's unrelated to us, did a study about how well people can learn with Duolingo. And they found that if you use Duolingo for 34 hours, you learn the equivalent of one semester of college in that language, which is way more than 34 hours. So it's quite effective at teaching.
Duolingo was spun off from Carnegie Mellon just 2 years ago in November of 2011. And since then, some 16 million people have used it to learn English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, and Portuguese. As you mentioned, you have over 30 people who are working at Duolingo here in Pittsburgh. That's pretty significant. What's next for you?
We're working on a few things. One of the ones we're working on is adding more languages. Right now, Duolingo only has 6 languages, and so we want to add way more than that. So that's one thing. Next year, we're probably going to have about 50 languages. Another thing that we're working on is certification that you've actually learned the language. This is something that matters a lot, especially for people learning English in non-English speaking countries. They want to get a certification that they actually know English, and so we're going to be doing that.
And have there been any celebrities who have taken note of Duolingo?
Yeah, quite a few. So Ashton Kutcher is one of our investors. The cast of the Game of Thrones apparently uses Duolingo all over the place. The main character from How I Met Your Mother uses it. So we see it all the time. Just celebrities tweet about it.
So that must be a lot of fun to see your work sort of really be picked up that way by a number of celebrities.
It is. Particular for us, because most everybody in the office is a big fan of Game of Thrones. For us, when we saw they had somebody from the cast of Game of Thrones tweeted that it they were all playing Duolingo. That was kind of one of our best days.
So I have to ask, tell us about that small green owl.
It's our mascot. I don't know exactly why it's green. That's kind of, a lot of people ask us about that. And, I've asked our designers and they're like, it looks good. But we chose an owl because kind of in many cultures, it shows wisdom. Why it's green, I have no idea.
Okay, that's fair enough. So, What are your thoughts about how this can really change the way in which people learn foreign languages? I mean, it seems like it's an incredible breakthrough technology.
Yeah, I think not just foreign languages. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more learning happening in things like your phone or a tablet. If you think about it, there's a lot of a lot of our users. What they're doing is while they're standing in line, for example, they get a little 5-minute lesson of something. It's so much more effective than having to sign up for classes, which requires you to, put your coat on, get out to your car, go somewhere, sit there for a while. This is so much more of an effective way of learning some things. Now, I'm not saying that you can learn everything on your phone as well as you can with a teacher, but for some things, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more education just happening on the phone.
Well, we actually have a foreign language teacher from Upper St. Clair who has a comment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm doing. I'm actually driving to my other building. I'm formerly a French teacher, an Arabic teacher, and I now teach ESL at Upper St. Clair. And I know your product; it's an excellent product. I'm extremely happy. I saw in the Post Gazette that you got the App of the Year. So congratulations, because I've been using it with my students and with a lot of success. Also, I'm wondering if there's any chance that you will be having any Arabic.
Yes. So thank you. So we get a lot of teachers saying that they're using it with their students. It's really great. I think it's Duolingo can't teach you everything. And I think the combination of a teacher and also Duolingo is a really powerful thing. We are going to have Arabic. That is probably going about mid-year of next year. We're probably going to have Arabic. It's one of the big languages that a lot of people ask for. That Chinese and Japanese we get asked for a lot.
Luis Fanon, how accurate are the translation services? Because it's not just about language teaching. There's more that one can do with Duolingo.
Yeah, there's more, and actually this is how we are able to offer Duolingo entirely for free. So the way Duolingo is totally free is, instead of charging users, what we do is whenever we teach them something. So for example, imagine we just taught them food words, so how to say food stuff in a given language, say Spanish. What we do is we say, okay, you've just learned food words. If you want to practice what you just learned with a real-world document, then help us translate this document. And usually that document would be related to what you just learned. So it may be like a menu or something that's written in Spanish. And the thing is that this menu has never been translated to English. And you, the student, are actually helping to translate, and we get paid for that translation. So, for example, CNN is one of our clients. And the way it works with CNN is that whenever they write a story in English, they send it to us. And we get our students to translate it at the same time as they're practicing their language. And then a few of them translate an article, and then we send it back to CNN, and then CNN pays us for that translation, in essence, supporting free language education. That's the basic idea of how it works. And the translations are extremely accurate. They're accurate enough for CNN to use them, for example.
Well, that sounds incredibly exciting. I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Professor Luis Fanon, computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon University and co-founder of Duolingo. When we come back, we'll be hearing from travel contributor Elaine LeBaum about bed and breakfasts in Vermont.